Region of Queens Council meeting. Thank you, Mike. Council meeting for Tuesday, November 27th, 2018 is hereby called to order. I would like to welcome everybody to council meeting today. As I mentioned previously during the public hearing, please turn your electronic devices to silent mode. And we do record this meeting and would ask that all be respectful during this meeting. I have no changes to the agenda today. Are there any changes to the agenda today? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda is circulated would be in order. Moved by Councilor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. This morning we have presentations under 3.1, Liverpool Regional High School, Nova Scotia Health. I would ask Sarah Murphy if you would like to come forward to the presentation desk. And if you have support staff with you or friends, you may bring them as well.
So good morning, Mayor Dagley, councilors, municipal staff, and residents of Queens County. My name is Sarah Murphy, and I'm a school health promoter with the South Shore Regional Center for Education and Public Health with the Nova Scotia Health Authority. With me today is Mr. Todd Symes, who's the vice principal at Liverpool Regional High School. And this morning, we'd like to speak with you about the possibility of building a community track around Liverpool Regional High School. And thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. So I'm relatively new to my role as of March. However, Mr. Symes has been working on this project for several years at this point, and he has spoken with council in the past. So I'll turn it over to Todd to speak with you about kind of what brought us up to this point in time.
Yes, thanks for having us here this morning. And some of you, this is not a deja vu. I was here before to kind of pitch the idea of the track to the municipality. So we have a few slides just to kind of catch you up as to what has happened since my last visit, which I think was a few years back. So those of you who are not familiar with our initial presentation, essentially being new to the community and new to the school, family of schools, 3-4 years ago, one of the glaring needs that we noticed from a school standpoint coming from the students and the staff and from the community members was the lack of an adequate training facility for our students, not just for track and field events, but for all athletic events. So this was a picture of our current location at Liverpool High School. So you see the soccer field in the back there. When I first came to the school, I noticed that our students were training for track and field events in our bus loop, which is a very roughly paved area around our school that's used primarily for transportation. And a lot of the students had expressed frustration to myself, and I know South Queens had mentioned frustration to myself, and it's very hard for our students to travel to other locations, to other schools that have these amazing facilities. There's 18 of them throughout the province at different high schools, smaller and bigger than ours. So they've come forward to us and asked that we have some kind of facility here, not only for the students, but for the community. So we decided to come to the municipality 3 years ago, I believe, and make a presentation as to what we thought was a solid plan moving forward. And of course, we're looking for some financial help at that time. I think our big ask at the meeting to make this track a possibility was a $50,000 working kind and just some support from the municipality members at the meeting at the time. So since that time, a lot of things have happened. We still have the dream and the desire to have a track in the facility. We have been informed that there was some talk about a track down by the Mirror Center, and I don't think the feasibility was there, so we kind of were waiting to see if a track would be developed there, and if there's no development in that area, then obviously we'd like to continue with one at our school. $4,000 has been confirmed by Health Promoting Schools with partnerships from the would-be Social Regional School Board of the Center for Education, as it's known now, and the Nova Scotia Health Authority, and that was to help us, I believe, with one of the recommendations of council to get a site feasibility study completed, and that, I think, constitutes half of the cost. You might be getting into your slides there in a little bit, but they definitely are on board, and we've been in consultation with the school board particularly numerous times. We've got a letter of agreement for them to look after the maintenance cost of any track that is built, that would cover everything from grading of the track, preparation of the track, maintenance of the track. We already have lighting that's there. One of the first things we did was increase security outside, so if there was a track there, it's completely visible through a camera. We have ample parking that's there. That's a level playing field with the field itself. So we talked about all these things with the school board, and they were all completely in agreement, which is fantastic. We were also recommended to develop a nonprofit society. There's just more transparency that way, plus another way for the community to get involved and to have a say in the matter. And we have developed a nonprofit society, Queens County Track Association, or Track Society, and that's made up of members of the community, members of our SAC, and some teachers that are on staff as well. And we still notice, of course, there's a need for this facility within our community. And like I say, it's not just our school that we're speaking of. We're talking about the entire community with Queens County.
So I guess you can see the next one.
Can I speak to that?
Sure. Yeah. These are some of the statistics or some of the information that we kind of share with our students and some of our members of our Regional Center for Education. Basically, this increases all the residents of Queens County to lead healthy, active lives. And I know that initially we spoke of our students, but when we brought this idea back to our students, they had mentioned how many of them now are working or volunteering at Queens Manor and working in other areas, either with health services, where there's just a need for students in general to interact with the public in a nice, open environment where they can, you know, basically lead an active, healthy lifestyle. And I know that the community itself appreciates the walking track, but they'd like to have a flat level surface that's easily accessible as well. And we see many opportunities with our students interacting with these members of the community that would be outside the school area, physically right outside the door. So a lot of students had mentioned how when they speak to the community members, they would like to be part of our school environment. And this is a way for them to be part of the school environment and be active and be healthy, which is one of our main goals. As the slides say, across Canada, only 35% of 5 to 17-year-olds are reaching the recommended physical activity levels. 82% of Canadian adults do not meet the recommended guidelines. Locally, children are the child poverty rate in Liverpool is 25%. In our country, early development scores show that 40% of primary students in Queens are vulnerable to at least one developmental domain compared to Nova Scotia baseline of 25%. 68% of residents across the former social health district have one or more chronic health conditions, and these are all things that hopefully can be alleviated with more of a physically active lifestyle, of course.
So from a health perspective, while the lens of the school community is important, some of this data is here to help us see how we can work together outside of education, partnering with health, partnering with the municipality and community partners, so that we can work collaboratively to address some of the root causes of the health and wellness challenges that some of our residents are facing, as the data suggests. So the track proposal, of course, is to support the health and well-being of our student populations, but really, at the end of the day, the need is that we want to increase opportunities for all residents of Queens County to lead healthy, active lives. And we see the potential of a track being something that could be a public asset for the entire county, so that regardless of whether you're a student at the school, if you are a senior in the community or whatnot, that you could access this space to support your own health and wellness. So why we need to work together? Some of the statistics around, you know, poverty and healthy child development are quite complex. There is no one easy solution to get to the root of these issues. And so we're really here to speak with you today about why we need to work collaboratively to address these complex challenges, and we see investing in public infrastructure like a track that's accessible to the community as one strategy that we can improve the health and well-being of our population. So supporting positive physical activity experiences for students can lead to involvement in exercise outside of school later in life. So by supporting students to engage in things like track and physical activity outside, we know that that not only supports them during their time in school, but that can lead also to healthy lifestyle behaviors that they carry with them throughout their entire lives. When we look at the County of Queens, we have several tracks that are located in Lunenburg County, but there are none actually located, to my awareness, in Queens County. So as Liverpool Regional High School is centrally located within our county, we felt that it would be an ideal location for a community asset to be located. Investing in infrastructure to support community health aligns with municipal, provincial, and federal strategies. So this is something that's been identified at the local level to the federal level that it's important for us to address. So we just took a quick look at some of the opportunities that are currently in place that might demonstrate how this proposed project aligns with municipal work. So for example, a lot of the work that happens in municipalities across the province needs to align with the provincial shared strategy for advancing recreation in Nova Scotia, and a project like this would align well with that shared strategy. As well, when we took a look at the Region of Queens strategic priorities for growth, we identified examples such as investing in local community development and investing in community engagement, which again align well with a project such as this. There were several strategies identified in the strategic plan, one being physical activity, an inclusive community, and youth engagement, and all three of those strategies could align well with a project such as this. A few weeks ago as well, the province released a strategic plan for increasing physical activity for all Nova Scotians. It was called Let's Get Moving Nova Scotia, and again, that provincial strategy aligns well with the work that we're trying to do with the track project. So shifting from the, you know, what brought us up to this point, some of the research supporting what we're trying to do, we wanted to share with you kind of the proposed process of how we would actually work together to make this happen. So Todd, myself, and community partners have been working with our regional manager with Communities, Culture, and Heritage to understand the different funding options and avenues that we could explore to move this work forward. So it's been recommended that the Planning Assistance Program, which is a provincial program through the Communities, Culture, and Heritage, has been recommended as the best path forward. So the estimated cost of this program would be $16,000. As part of the grant, the province would cover 50%, leaving us responsible for $8,000. And that's where earlier on we shared with you that the Health Promoting Schools Partnership has committed $4,000. So we would be requesting that the Region of Queens municipality match that remaining 25%, which would be $4,000, to allow us to fully reach that $16,000 cost. The $16,000 would allow us to, through the RFP process, we would be able to hire a consultant to support us with the needs assessment, project design, community engagement, and impact assessments to ensure that it aligns with the school's priorities, the Regional Center for Education, and the municipality. Once we have a better kind of picture of the project moving forward, we would then apply for the next step in the funding sequence, and that grant is called the Recreation Facility Development Grant, which is also through the province. If we're successful in receiving that grant, then one-third of the capital cost would be covered by the province, leaving us responsible for the two-thirds remainder, which we would hope to secure through fundraising, other grant sources, municipal support, and support through the Regional Center for Education. Those are just some references. So on behalf of Todd and myself, we'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today, and we hope to collaborate together to support the health and well-being of our student population and the entire population of Queens County. Thank you.
Thank you for presenting, and I would ask counselors if they have any questions or comments on the presentation this morning. Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Hi, thanks for that. And just so you know before I start is that I totally agree, any infrastructure like a track is in my books, it improves our community to have that here and so anything else that goes along with it. But what I want to ask about is your track and field program now. What's involved in your track and field programs? I didn't hear a lot about what students do in track
As far as training or?
Yeah, well, training and the events, your track and field events,
yeah,
the process at the school.
Yeah, great question. Just the track and field itself is a season of sports, so it starts, you know, anytime after March or April when the ground is dry and feasible. They'll train pretty much till the end of the year in June. It's your traditional track and field event, so you'll be your 100 meter, 200 meter, 400 meter, and then your long distance runs. All those things would involve training on a track. We also have throwing events, so we have high jump, long jump, triple jump, and traditionally what they do at Liverpool Regional High School is the running events, they would use the facility of the pavement, which is outside. A lot of the throwing events, they would try to coordinate it with the soccer teams that are within the area, and myself, who coaches soccer at the school, they try to use the field for throwing events. We try to hold some inside. But traditionally what's happened is our athletes will compete, and for a small school, I will say they're very competitive. Last year, our junior boys managed to beat Parkview for the first time in a very long time. The frustrating part was we have to allow our coach to take these athletes and train out of the region because they have nowhere to put their starting blocks. You can't obviously drive those into the concrete or the pavement outside of our school. And South Queens would be in a similar situation where they had students going to provincials last year, regionals last year, districts last year, and they'd have nowhere to train. So as a school, I'm asking my coaches to get into their vehicle and travel to other tracks in other regions that might be available when their schools aren't using them to train. And then I look back to people like Ben Terrio, who's training for the Canada Games, who really should be training all the time, who has no facility in his own school to not only train but to showcase his talent for the rest of the community. So that's kind of where this idea came from, because our students were tired of having to travel and train, and they didn't think it was fair that other students in other schools had all these opportunities and our students didn't have them. So we started with this promotion or this idea to kind of give them the facilities they need to train. And I want to clarify too, it's not just for track and field, it could be for cross country, it could be for any sporting event. It would be great just to have them here locally, just to showcase the talent that we have. And as a small school, it's really important to us that we grow our extracurricular activities, and having all of our strong athletes have to leave and train, it's not giving a chance for the younger students to kind of see this and to appreciate the talent that we have locally.
Absolutely. So we would be able to host track and field events here if we had this track?
Yes, provincials would be a little tricky. They require, you know, six lanes, and they require some of them synthetic tracks and that kind of thing. But we definitely, the picture that we showed of the actual soccer field, we own quite a bit of area around the field. And I think depending on the amount of money that we raise and depending on the results of the feasibility study, we definitely have land there to, from talking to Mr. Framp and from Sarah Mitten, actually, who I spent some time with there a few years back, definitely have the room there to space all the track and field events out so that it would be a safe training environment and we could actually host the regionals and districts probably. Mm-hmm.
So do you have the $16,000 is just for the planning process to go through the consulting and all of that?
Right.
You don't have a ballpark figure for what this is going to cost?
The total cost? Yeah, it was estimated to be $130,000, and that was with a crusher dust four-lane track. Mm-hmm. We kind of rounded up to $200,000 based on some information that was shared with us with Turf Masters and some people that were more knowledgeable with the process, because they things like bedrock and that kind of thing. So if we bumped it up to $200,000, that would give us enough wiggle room, I think, to make things right afterwards and to make it look physically appealing as well as functional.
Okay.
$200,000 was the ballpark price. And if you're looking at a synthetic track, it's much more than $200,000.
And that's where we decided, as opposed to the initial ask, with Turf Masters, we decided to go through the provincial process so that through the consultation, we could work with community partners. And if, you know, being able to host regional events was something that was really important to the community, then we could use the expertise of the consultant to kind of map that out and incorporate that into the planning process moving forward.
Yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Johnson?
I think my question was answered. I want to know what the end cost is going to be. Because your initial ask is for $4,000, and then you're looking for 30% of the $200,000 a little bit later down the road.
Yes. Yeah, I think the initial ask when we first presented was for $50,000 work in kind, I believe.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Fisk?
A good presentation, Todd. Enjoyed it. I want to just discuss the finance part. It looks like you might be asking the Region of Queens for roughly $65,000.
If you're looking at the one-third and one-third and one-third?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would be depending on fundraising and if there's no other sponsorship locally.
Well, what I'm asking again is you've got an estimated cost of $130,000, and all of a sudden you go up to the $200,000 figure. How did that come out?
The ballpark, the actual cost of the track itself is $130,000. And they said with any renovation of this scale, this magnitude, you should incorporate a buffer for make-right repairs, and especially with the slope of the land, they said it could be bedrock there. So he recommended, this was through Turf Masters, their expertise, they said it'd be probably a fair estimate to have $200,000. He just didn't want to sell us on the $130,000 and then have these problems and not have the cash there, the financial wearables there. So they're recommending, just like any other home repair, that you budget higher than your actual expectation. And with any construction, I don't know what the total cost would be until we finally got there, but I think it's fair to say it would be between $130,000 and $200,000.
Yeah. And to clarify, we were in a position to make more of a formal or more clear ask around the $4,000 because that was more of a set concrete amount. However, we're not making a formal request necessarily that the region would be responsible for one-third of the capital cost. That would be something that through the partnership and conversation that we could figure out.
Yeah.
So for example, if that wasn't an ask that could be met, then we could explore other fundraising opportunities to reach that financial amount.
Thank you.
Councilor McLeod?
I'm really pleased that you've appeared before us today, and I think it's a wonderful idea and it's long overdue. We have a lot of interest in different types of sports in Queens, and until we have the places for them, the infrastructure, which is the word we always use, then we're kind of left out from other opportunities. And I like and I'm asking the question, is it available to the community outside the realms of the school system?
Right.
So individual groups and sports teams and that sort of thing could use it for training as well, for outdoor training, other than just using the track over at Queens Place inside and outside.
Yeah. I believe that is our, at this point, that is our intention, that it would be, you know, as an asset at the community, the primary intention would be to support the students, and then after school hours, during the summer and all that sort of thing, that it would definitely be a community asset that the community could use. Not-for-profit organization, so there's no reason why a Relay for Life event, for example, couldn't happen there and that the school could support that. Some other work that I'm involved in Lunenburg County and Queens County is supporting the idea of community use agreements. So if the municipality would like to work together to create some sort of formal agreement about how we could work together to support community use of the track,
mm-hmm.
then that could be part of our conversation as well.
Similar to the old community school kind of profile, where,
right.
you know, when you're using the facilities, but you have someone to kind of get the logistics and,
exactly.
and all of that.
Yep.
That sounds really good. The funding, I know, is a challenge, and under the sports heading, I think you may have a better opportunity to get some kind of sponsorship, because you can get sponsorship from athletics, people that are interested in athletics, but also from folks that can provide the necessary, say, ground cover and all that stuff. I mean, there's lots of sponsorship over there if you just kind of get the right people, and that's how you get your crusher dust and all that stuff, you know. I mean, there's ways of getting that,
yep.
that funding, so but it's a great idea. I really love it.
Thank you.
And just to follow up too, I know that after our initial presentation, there was a little bit of media coverage that came with the presentation, and I was contacted by Relay for Life, Terry Fox Foundation, Athletics Nova Scotia actually came to the school just to kind of say, anything you guys need, just let us know. So I think this was our first stumbling block, was we kind of would like to have all of our ducks in a row, I guess, before we ask people for help and
sure.
for donations. But yeah, it definitely seemed like there was a large group of community events that could be held at that facility once it was erected.
And the fitness aspect of it, too, very
important. Absolutely.
Councilor Pearson?
Yes, Todd and Sarah, really appreciate the very detailed, very showing forward of what you, where you're going, where you're starting from, where you're going, and what your end result is. I think as a council, our biggest thing right now is not to be looking at how we can take things on more with our council and such as here, is community driven, and you are fitting very much into the bill of what we're trying to do and trying to make the school and the community work together. I really like that aspect of it. The follow up on one of the other points is that if seniors is a flat area, and when you go over by Queen's Place to go outside, it can be a little challenging with even a little hill. Like I can still run up over the hills, but you know, maybe some years down the road, those hills may be a little tough. So that maybe that we need, you know, a flat area where you don't, and also too, when you're going to go flat area, you get tired. It's only 400 meters, and you're going to be back to where you started from. So all those things are great aspects to what it would be. I think of playing tennis this summer. We've had there's some people who joined a tennis club, and I said, and they were from Toronto. I said, why did you move here? He said, we lived in the area. We said, so I got a boat. He said, I like the spot where there's a boat. But he said, also too, he said, we love playing tennis. So that was part of why they moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Some people across the river from me said that their daughter loves track. But people will move to an area where the facilities are there for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a known fact. You know, are you going to move to Liverpool if your daughter's an athlete who's in track and you're going to have to go to, well, you know, that they will do that. There's a guy who moved up the road from me who works up in Shelburne. His son is a hockey player, so he moved to Milton so he could be able to take his son over. So it is very much so. People will move to the area because of the infrastructure. And really what you're asking for here today is just our contribution into the part of the initial stage.
Yeah.
And you're saying it could be up to 200,000, but you don't know what your partners are going to be till we get past this initial stage and see where we're going to. A couple other points you guys made is that most counties have a track.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have one. And that's unfair to the children. I was years helping with the track down there to the South Queens and trying to do things when you don't know what you're doing and you have no place to, you don't know what a 400 meter is and how you're going to run. If people are goal, kids can be goal oriented. And if they can see, they run around that track and take them this much time, they can look what the provincial and other times are and see to go up to. And again, watching and being able to get down there to the track and being able to utilize what they have. Is a child going to take a shot put in his hand and say, okay, I'll try that, when he has to go to Bridgewater to try it to see if he likes it? If you've got it right there, they could be able to say, because I know one kid in particular who was one of the best in the province, and he was just strong as an ox. We didn't know what he was doing. He'd just take a shot put and throw it. But after he learned his what he could do, he could be so much better. So we're giving the children an opportunity, which is putting them on the same level playing field as the rest of the province. And the other thing, too, which wasn't mentioned here this morning, is I remember that back here a year or two ago, they talked about the fitness level in Nova Scotia. And we are one of the children that are probably with the most children that are overweight,
right,
and say, hey, we got an opportunity to even help with that on the health end of it.
Right.
And again, all these things are just positive, so I really enjoyed your presentation.
Thank you.
Councilor Fisk?
All questions been answered. Thank you, Dan.
Any other member of council have a question or comment on this presentation? Well, thank you very much, Sarah Murphy and Todd Symes. In regards to your presentation, would you please submit a a formal request in writing to the Region of Queens for your $4,000 ask with a very brief summary of the project you're proposing.
Sure.
And then we'll take it under advisement.
Great. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Under 4.0, tabling of petitions, we have no petitions to bring forward today. Are there any petitions to bring forward today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Under 5.0, public question comment session, I would ask members of the gallery if they would like to speak today that they limit their discussion to 5 minutes or less, and please state your name and address.
I'm Robertson College Street, Liverpool. I'm at 13.2 Mount Pleasant School. There's a recommendation there that has been sold for a dollar to the society there, the Queen's Care Society for the children's group there. Anyway, I think that's a good idea. A number of other schools in the past have been sold for a dollar for the same purpose to the nonprofit group. And I think that's a step forward, and I'd recommend that to that council. And under 3.21, the presentation that we just heard, it sounds like a great project there. There was a surprise there that apparently 68% of us in the social area we have health problems. And according to a previous speaker during the public hearing, that if the tower goes dead, then we'll have more health problems. But anyway, that was a surprise to me. I think it's a great project. Yes, that's one that should be considered. Just one comment and one question, Mr. Mayor. The $4,000 that's being requested at this point in time, that would be an unbudgeted item at this point. Is that right? We'd have to look at the budget to see.
At this point, there is no written request for the $4,000, but as you heard, we have asked the presenters to put a formal request in writing so that we can consider that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the gallery this morning?
Well, Mr. Mayor, members of council.
Your name?
Phil Cox, 121 Barb Road. Under 9.1, under details, second paragraph, the time should be 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. That's showing us 11:02. Correction there. We hope that all members of council will be able to attend and talk to our chef, and he says things are starting to fall in place for the acquire the necessary items for the charter, so that once I tell him that he has some money to spend, hopefully he'll be able to proceed with that. Also, under 3.1, the I'm very much in favor of this because we've been missing out on a lot of items that they didn't even discuss in their presentation. We have for years been not able to host various events here, which are very important for the Legion and for this part of the province. One being the Legion Track and Field event for the South Shore. That has been held at the Cam School in Chester and at the exhibition grounds in Lunenburg, alternating for, I guess, about 45 years now. And it has never been in Liverpool or Queens County. There's an excess of 300 children attend that, or I say children, I should say students, who attend that event. And we have never been able to host it because we haven't had a satisfactory facility to do that. Also, for our players and our officials. Our officials who reach the higher levels of officiating are required to demonstrate on the field that they can cover distances in a certain period of time and improve their conditioning and this sort of thing. The last time that we held that event in Liverpool, I believe, was when the junior high school was where the library is now located. And that's a long time ago. These are things that the public and the general public doesn't necessarily appreciate for, but these are things that are important to our people in our community who are pursuing those particular endeavors and what have you. So it's very important that we do support these types of endeavors, particularly if they're community driven, and it's not something that has to be provided 100% by the region and supported by our taxpayers. But it's very, very nice to know that this is being pursued on behalf of the high school, and hopefully it will be backed up by other schools and organizations. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and Mr. Senator.
Thank you, Bill Cox. Any other member of the gallery?
Ann Laws, 19 Old Meeting House Road, Beach Meadows. There seems to be a lot of talk about health and wellness. I do have some questions, but I hope I can preface it well. Catchphrase, aligning with municipal work. I jotted down a lot of things. I hope you know, Council and Mayor, that although my presence here might not have been until this fish farm expansion issue, that I do pay attention. I collect the bees. I wanted to let you know that I have respect for you, Mayor and Council. I want to speak to you. I'll always speak with respect. I appreciate the job you do. When I went back through these, the fish farm issue, what I realize now, and I've listened to Mayor Dagley talk, that until you know exactly what fish or what is being proposed by Cook Aquaculture, when they submit an application, that's when you can respond. However, what point I hope to make today is that is a response. I'm looking for preventative measure. So, and that comes a lot, like when you come to issues of health or anything, we always look at, well, what can we do to prevent what may happen? Good health, eat well, you know, all of these things. It's just a cause and effect. Land use bylaw. How do we use the land in Queens over the next 8 years? You guys have asked for conversation, public input about that. November 2018, municipal matters, climate change, increase in storm frequency leading to more flooding of the waterfront. Flood mitigation study, $74,878 plus HST, cost sharing with the province, important work. Flooding not only in the town area, guys, but as the storm surge hits and more frequent storms, coastal areas. That's where I live. I live on a hill, so I'm probably less likely to be flooded, but they're all along the coastline. People are flooding. Carter's Beach, there's a counselor here on your council that meets as an observer to convey the region's perspective for the community liaison committee as the Nova Scotia Department of Environment seeks to gather info to protect Carter's Beach as a nature reserve. Okay? So you guys are doing work, and what we need is you to work and make a stance for protection of our area from West Berlin to Western Head. It's here, but it's worldwide. As I said yesterday at our rally at Fort Point, we're speaking as citizens of this area. People are speaking out all over the world about the pollution of fish farms. Beach Meadows, Eagle Head, yeah, we're at risk down there. And we're at risk because of pollution, but we're even more at risk with the climate change and the flooding. And the risk economically in a paycheck matter to me. I wanted to bring the council's attention. The place owned on Happy Landing, the previous effluent plant that's owned now by the province, that used to be owned by Resolute, large containing bins, containers, that perhaps could house an on-land aquaculture site. How can we work with that? How can we maybe get somebody here that can do sustainable aquaculture, provide you with, you know, the economic dollars to here that we want? Cook is a linear company. They have not only their fish farm, but they own trucking. They own a fish food plant. They own a processing plant. Their money, they're looking out for them. We gotta look out for us as well. I don't know. Lobsters, fishermen, all of these things, so important. I don't know if I have any time, but I want to finish up with this little piece. Quote from EcoJustice Canada, because you know what? If the government, from provincial, federal, even down to you, if you're not going to listen to the health and the science that's already out there, people are going to go the way of the legal system. And there's legal entities out there that can help this to happen. We have East Coast Environmental Law. We have the Ecology Action Center. We have EcoJustice Canada. And don't think that the people here aren't strong enough to bring these people in. And you will be carefully examined for your stance on these issues. Here's a quote from EcoJustice Canada. It may seem novel to Canadians, but in the last 50 years, the right to a healthy environment has gained recognition faster than any other human right. Around the world, more than 110 countries now recognize their citizens' right to a healthy environment. In fact, Canada is among only a dozen nations that do not yet explicitly recognize this fundamental human right. Most Canadians agree that strong environmental laws are important, yet Canada's current patchwork of environmental laws and weak regulatory standards means that thousands of people, disproportionately those in First Nations communities, do not have access to clean running water. Thousands of are exposed to harmful levels of air pollution every day. Dozens of toxic chemicals already banned in other countries can still be legally used within our borders. These injustices make a clear case that Canada needs to take bold action and recognize environmental rights in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I hope that my question to you will be continually, will you help us to prevent damage to our natural environment? Cook is operating, what I learned yesterday from a couple in Sable River who attended, 4 times the area that they have been leased from there off Coffin Island. Please, my question is, will you help? Will you help? Thank you.
Thank you, Ann Laws. Council has heard your comments today. And as I committed to yesterday, I will be contacting the province to actually determine the size of the present 14-pen site on Coffin's Island and hopefully clarify what is actually fact and what may not be fact. And I will bring that information back to you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Well, I thank you very much for your comments today, and we will now move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, regular council minutes for November the 13th, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Fisk, seconded by Councillor Frelick. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly, we have one item. Under 7.1, 877 New Grafton Road. And I would ask our bylaw officer, Kellyanne Hurley, if she would come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 7.1? Councillor Johnson?
I'd like to recommend
following work be carried out. One, removal of all abandoned and derelict vehicles. Two, removal of car parts, tires, scrap metal, construction and demolition materials, household garbage, and other miscellaneous items strewn throughout the property. Three, relocate motorcycle and truck cab. And four, removal of remnant cinder block foundation from previous demolition. And that if the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirement of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
Seconded for that, Councilor Fisk. Kellyanne, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Good morning. 877 New Grafton Road, New Grafton, Queens County, Nova Scotia. Property owner Lindsay Irene Wambach. PID number 701-59611. It's imperative to note that there is no property representation here this morning. This property has been on the bylaw enforcement officer's roster on and off since April of 2013, when the property dwelling sustained irreparable damages due to a house fire. The dwelling was eventually demolished. However, remnants of a cinder block foundation remain posing as a hazard. This is one recommendation today. The property exterior hosts several abandoned and derelict vehicles, auto parts, scrap metals, construction and demolition materials, or remnants thereof, household garbage, and other miscellaneous items strewn throughout the property. In July of 2017, a formal order to comply with directives was issued to Lindsay Wambach in hopes of rectifying this dangerous and unsightly condition. Wambach's partner, Mr. Bobby Forrest, attempted to clean up the offending property, however, did not complete all directives as requested. In January of 2018, another formal order to comply was issued again with the result of a partial cleanup. A third and final formal order to comply was issued to Wambach with a further substantial cleanup, but not completed at this time. An invite to council on this date was issued on November 13th, in hopes of rectifying this very long and ongoing and drawn-out situation. The property owner and Mr. Forrest have been given more than sufficient time to remedy the condition. Thus, my recommendation today.
Thank you, Kellyanne. Any questions or comments of councillors on this item? Councillor McLeod?
Kellyanne, do you really think this will be done?
Absolutely.
It was.
Not by the property owners.
Pardon me?
Probably not by the property owners.
Any other councillor? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
We have nothing under 8.0 economic development today. Under Corporate Services 9.0, we have 9.1, which is request for funding for New Year's levy. Deputy Mayor Kelly, would you like to move it?
Yeah, okay. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to Nova Scotia NU Command Mersey Branch 038, the Royal Canadian Legion, in the amount of $500 to host the New Year's levy on January the 1st, 2019, to be funded from other expenses, general government.
Seconded for that? Councilor McFarland? And I would like councillors to keep in mind that in the preamble on the timing of that levy, as advised this morning, it is 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Any discussion on the item? Are you ready for the question?
No question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 9.2, administrative policy, council and staff expenses. Who would like to take the lead on 9.2? Councilor Kelly?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens and Municipality approve Policy 7, Council and Staff Expenses.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Fisk? Any discussion on this item? Are you ready for questions?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? That is unanimous, thank you. Under 9.3, Operation Policy 86, Impairment and Use of Cannabis by Employees of Region of Queens Municipality and Operations Controlled by RQM. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councilor Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve Policy 86 respecting impairment and use of cannabis by employees of the Region of Queens Municipality and operations controlled by the Region of Queens Municipality.
Seconder to that? Councilor Johnson? Any discussion on this item? Councilor Crowley?
I'm just wondering, cannabis is used for so many medical uses. And I see in here it says consumption the 12 hours before any known or expected performance. Can you remind me again how we address that?
CAO, would you like to respond to that question?
There is some wording in here that deals with medical marijuana. So if somebody is licensed, it'd be no different than if somebody got a prescription for medication for an illness. They obviously consume that when it's prescribed by a doctor, and medical marijuana would be no different than that. But obviously, if there is some level of medical marijuana that has a reason to cause impairment, then they have to disclose that to the supervisor, and then they're either not working that day or that shift, or they're put into a responsibility or duty that's not going to cause any safety issues.
But with the current environment, I mean, now that we're so accessible, people no longer have to go through their doctor for that. And it's used, the oil and all of it is used for so many different things. So are we looking down the road at, you know, a year or two from now, what's going to happen is more and more people jump on board?
Yes, clear.
My understanding is the only way you get medical marijuana is through an authorization from a medical practitioner. And so you can't just simply go to a store and purchase it. For medical purposes.
I understand that, but people are purchasing it from a store to relieve some of their medical issues.
And that's not authorized medical, and then they would fall under the other policy, which is you can't use it during work hours. If you do, there are ramifications for doing that.
Okay. So the 12 hours leading up to is enforceable?
It's as enforceable as other regulations.
Any other counselor? Have a question or comment? Councilor Fancy?
I just want to get this straight. So we're differentiating between the recreational and the medical, right? In the sense that if you're doing recreational, that you could go 12, you can't use it 12 hours before, right? Because if not, then you start to, even when we start to hire, and somebody had it was on the medical end, you said, well, I've got to use it. Well, then if I need you as a truck driver, then you disqualify because, you know, you if you're going to use it past 8 o'clock at night, you can't be using it during the day on your job.
And
right?
And so the issue becomes certain cannabis has, is it THC?
Yes.
And some does not. So typically the medical stuff that's prescribed by, or not prescribed, but authorized by physician, does not contain that, and so it helps with the pain, but doesn't necessarily impair the individual to be able to perform the functions of their duty safely. And so that's what we're concerned about, is that if someone is authorized to use it,
right,
that we need to be aware that the authorization is provided by a medical practitioner does not prevent them from operating and doing their job safely.
Okay.
If it does, then there's a requirement here that they need to self-disclose that, and then it's up to the supervisor to determine whether they're off the job for that day, or whether they're assigned to another duty that isn't a safety issue.
My understanding is that it all contains THC. It's just a matter of the amount, how it's grown, and how there's a bunch of different factors into it. So, but the whole idea is that if it's medical, it's probably going to be on the low end scale so that they can still perform their job, but the others, we don't have control of.
Right, and the policy says if the supervisor has any concerns, the supervisor has to have that discussion with the employee to make sure that they're comfortable with that person operating, whether it's machinery, equipment, building operations, or whatever operations controlled by the Region of Queens, does that mean people who are volunteering for events, you know, lesser of risk, higher risk than people operating heavy machinery, but no different appropriate behavior on our part?
What section?
Volunteers or whatever.
What section are you reading from?
Under the recommendation, it says impairment and use of cannabis by employees of the Region of Queens and operations controlled by the Region of Queens. So would that be volunteer events? If I volunteered for the upcoming World Juniors?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the policy, section 86.2, it says the policy applies to all employees of the region, including full-time, part-time, casual, temporary, probationary contracts, as well as those employed are volunteering under other conditions. So if you're volunteering at the World Junior Curling, then this policy applies to
you're here today.
That's right. So our discussion wouldn't necessarily be the volunteer, it would be the organizer, the leaser of that, the lessee of that building for that particular purpose. That person is non-compliant with our policy, and then the leasee would have to deal with that.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? The motion's passed 7-1. Under 9.4, Operational Policy 11, Community Investment Fund Policy. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens approve Policy 11 respecting a Community Investment Fund.
Seconded to that? Councilor Kelly? Any discussion on this issue? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I'd like to applaud staff and CAO for finally bringing this forward. I think it's amazing how they've revamped the policy, and I know that a number of other, well, maybe one other counselor has been waiting for this for longer than I have, but for the last 2 years that we've had to deal with grants to organizations, and this is amazing policy. So that's what I want to say. I mean, I hope Chris is going to give us a little bit of a rundown for it, because although I understand the overall view of it, there are some questions inside that I do have. So I'll wait to see what he has to say first.
CAO, would you like to add to this?
Yes, sir. I wasn't intending to show the detail. It's, everybody's got a copy of it. It is a very different approach to what we've done before. It's very, it's more generous, but it's also more onerous, and the fact that there's more reporting from organizations, there's more accountability from organizations. But it's clearer, and those that need the funding, this essentially says the funding is available or will be available if they meet the criteria, and it also will streamline things, hopefully, because right now there's a lot of grants that come forward for small amounts of money that go through paperwork, and they wait a month or two. This will streamline that process. But also, as we talked about today, the opportunity for planning assistance for a track, exactly what they asked for is in the policy. If you're looking for, then you get into the capital part of it. If you're looking for capital funding, it's in the policy that says what you're eligible for. So groups and organizations in our community that are interested in planning capital infrastructure projects, they know up front what the funding criteria is going to be. And hopefully we were able to set aside the funding in the allocating the policy to do that. I'm confident we can do that for the next couple of years to do that, but it's going to depend on demand. Mm-hmm. And part of this policy's rationale as well is that we talked about the future of our community and the fact that we have a small, very small departments in many areas, in particular recreation, and we don't have the capacity to go out and do programming in all the different communities. And it's unfair for us to do programming in one or two communities and not do it in all the communities. And so this provides the opportunity for groups that wish to invest in their own communities, if they have community facilities, community halls, they want to put in green spaces, parks, playgrounds, whatever they want to do, that we're interested in being a partner in that on the funding side to help them realize that, and that people can participate in recreational opportunities or other opportunities in their own community, and not the old traditional way of everything being centralized in certain areas. And so there's lots of opportunity here to grow our communities, especially our rural communities. So that's the impetus and the background behind this. Focuses on a number of different important categories.
criteria is going to be a little different than what is existing today, and so some people may be very positively impacted, and some people may be affected negatively. And so we won't know that until we get the applications and we see what people are applying for and the programs and projects and infrastructure are applying for. But certainly I'm open to do my best to answer any questions on this, and this has certainly been a team effort. There's been at least four or five staff that have been involved with this and gone through it to put the filters on it to make sure we're not negatively impacting any organization or group unfairly. So it's taken us quite some time to get there, but I'm optimistic that what's presented here today is fair and transparent and will serve the community well for many years.
At this point, I'd like to ask our Director of Recreation, Megan Roberts, if you have any comments you'd like to add to this discussion today.
No, I don't have anything specific, and I'm losing my voice, so bear with me. I just think that given the direction that we want to go in, that this is a really great policy. It's all in one spot. People don't have to look through, well, specifically, we had eight different policies, depending on what they were doing. It was, you know, depending on which one it was, there was different application processes, there was different allocation of money, and it was very confusing for people to navigate that. And, you know, we were more than willing to help people, but this puts it all in one spot, allows us to give one policy. It's very well laid out, I think. The CAO said, you know, we're going to have to, you know, help people navigate it to begin with, but I think that that's fine. I think that, you know, as applications come in, we can work with people and make sure that, you know, what they're putting in it is what they really need in it. It also gives us a really clear application and reporting. So in the past, depending on which grant it was, you didn't always have to report at the end, so you didn't always know what the outcome was. And I think that's really important when we're giving money, is at the end to know what the impact was to our community and to the people that participated. And this is really clear. And I think from the special events side, you know, it allows people, you know, the to know that we're willing to help them, especially to bring those bigger special events into our community. It can be hard for community groups to think, oh my goodness, how am I going to navigate bringing this big event? And this kind of lets them know that we're here and we're willing to support them in that.
Thank you, Megan. Deputy Mayor Kelly, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, I did. I was most interested in the area around the funding part of it. I mean, I really appreciate that we're bringing in all of the amounts from all of the policies that we're appealing today to put through it, and I appreciate the CAO mentioned that you put it through the filters, and I think that's what it is, and I'm sure that in creating this, you did the examples, like say for instance, and this is where I'm getting at, is the total amount of it, and it's like $200,000, but is that a cap, or are we, this could change going forward by seeing applies for it and what our exposure. I'm interested in understanding what our exposure to the policy, because there's not a finite amount here, is there?
So the intention is to initially set aside $200,000 into the capital infrastructure part of it in this budget year. And so that money won't be spent this year because the policy won't apply to April 1st of next year. And then the intention is next year we'll set another $100,000 aside into that capital investment fund. And then we'll set aside potentially another $75,000 in the operating. So that would cover the operating grants, which typically have been $50,000. There's been some other funding for the recreation programs, $18,750, I believe, so about $68,000, whatever it is. And at budget time, we'll decide what that number is. And so in the past, we've typically funded on the operating side the same groups, the same organizations for very similar levels each year. And a lot of organizations haven't applied because they probably realize that the same group's getting the money. This way it's more open. And so when we put out the applications here, hopefully in the next week or so, for the operating side, if we get $70,000 of applications, and they're all excellent applications, and they're all going to do good stuff for the community, then staff's recommendation will be that we allocate $70,000 in that budget year for that particular project, and then we'll still set aside the $18,000, whatever it is, for the other grants and organizations during the year. And then we also have the capital side. And so the capital side is going to have a certain amount of money. And so if somebody comes in and wants to build a project, and they need $250,000, then that's the decision for council to say, are we willing to use up most of that money in that 1 year for that project? And if we are, then that's council's decision. But of course, the money isn't unlimited. So once that money is gone, then there's no more application that particular year. But I'm hopeful that the next year council will allocate another $100,000 or $50,000, whatever it might be, depending on the previous year's use
just as an example then, when it says up to 10% funding for provincial, national, and international events where the budget exceeds 300,000, so say for instance a national or international event came here and their budget was $1 million, we'd be in that for 100,000. They could apply for $100,000 of funding and we would consider that?
They could apply up to 100,000, we would consider that, yes.
Right, okay. And that all depend, and it doesn't necessarily depend on how much money we actually have left in that budget, because we can reallocate money and based on the event that's coming forward and the profile of the event or whether it's good for the community or not. There's a number of boxes to tick.
That becomes an annual budget item, and so with the World Junior Curling Championships, they come forward, they've asked for, I think, and the budget's $50,000.
Yeah.
I wasn't here when the discussion took place, but there must have been some method or some madness to what the rationale was for why it was $50,000.
I think their budget's $500,000 around there,
yeah.
So that actually works out quite well with the way the policy is.
So that would match up, and so if it came in, it was $600,000, then they'd be eligible for up to $60,000. But the organization still has to rationalize why they need the $50,000 or why they need the $60,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this just allows organizations pre-planning that they know if they come forward with a good event, that this is what we're willing to fund, as opposed to coming and having a guessing game whether the council's going to support it or not.
Absolutely.
We're saying up front, you bring forward a good project, then this is what we're interested in supporting, and then if that comes forward, then council has to deliberate how do we fund that, and so do we fund it at the operating budget, and then what do we have to sacrifice or give up to make that happen.
No, it's wonderful.
And if some years we don't get any requests, then we don't have to budget any. In other years we get other requests and we'll have to budget
more. I don't think that's good. Once the word gets out, this is awesome. Thank you very much.
Councilor Fancy.
The only other thing that comes along, of course, I guess, but I think I'm getting what you're saying too, because hopefully we never reach that 200,000. We might reach it and exceed it, I don't know. But there's always through the year, we always have different requests that come up out of nowhere, or they know what they're planning, but they don't make the request until the time comes. It's like in Christmas time and other things where events will come up along the way. I guess that still, as long as there's money in that budget to reach that, that's what all the money back, right?
What Megan is talking about is all those 7 or 8 programs that she has. Typically, people apply during the year for those,
right.
And so that's not going to change. It's just going to be on all of their one policy and one application. So
right.
They can still apply if they're going to host a tournament. They can still apply if they're going to have training for volunteers. They can still apply if they're going to travel assistance for traveling for a national competition.
Right.
That's not changing. It's just going to be one application as opposed to going to Megan and saying, this is what we want to do, which one of these 7 or 8 applications do I fill out?
Okay.
And how much money is available? It's clear now. Everybody knows exactly how much money is available. There's one application.
So then the community, was it community assistance program? Was it, you get the majors, $5,000, and the others are $2,500 or something like that. That's still going to stay the same, but it's going to be taken out of this budget?
Not infrastructure. So if you apply for infrastructure, you're eligible for the funding in Section 11.7.
Okay.
So if you want to, so if you're the last year under the recreation Milton Canoe Camper Cup, got $5,000.
Right.
Under this program, they'd be eligible for a new construction, up to 25% of that cost. So if it's $100,000, they get access to $25,000. So that's very different than what it is now. So right now under recreation, you're limited.
Right.
One group gets $5,000.
And
there's two groups get 1,500 or something like that potentially.
Depending, it's prorated depending on the project cost.
Because it's been a very small pot of money.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so what we're saying is, if you're, we're approving one project, but we might have 3 great projects. And so do we want to stunt the growth and development of our community by our policy by saying, well, we can only fund one this year, come back next year?
Right.
An organization has all their other money, then we should be investing in it when they're ready to go, not when we're ready based on the policy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Councilor Pillar?
I just want to say bravo for doing this. This is a long time coming, and I think it really sends out a very clear message that we are interested in all of our county, and it puts everybody on an even playing field, which is some of the struggles we had prior to. So thank you for doing this. The one thing I was wondering about the grants to organization ordeal that we have to go through, is that changed completely, or will there still be similar aspects to that process?
So if the council approves this, we will finalize the application and we'll have
apply under the operating fund, because that's what the old grants organization is, with the operating
yep.
fund. If they have a capital project, they can still apply to the capital stuff, but we won't deal with that until later in the year, till April or May, whatever, after the budget's approved. But we'll still do the operating stuff. But we won't give pre-budget approval for a certain amount. We're gonna say, here's the program, apply, and then we'll, based on the applications and the good applications and the when they give, we'll do an assessment of need and all those types of things. And then we'll come forward and say, okay, we've received, we're recommending $60,000 or $50,000 or $40,000, whatever it might be. And we'll bring forward that for a recommendation to council in February after the deadline's available. But we don't want it. So the process is going to change, other than it's going to be one application form, but organizations have to be careful. If they want infrastructure money,
mm-hmm.
then they're not going to want to apply into that. They're going to want to apply into the infrastructure. So, one of the downsides is you can't get money from two different pots for a large amount. So you can't say, well, I want money to fix up my building. I want $20,000, but I also want $20,000 operating or $10,000 operating. You've got to pick and choose to be fair.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening to our request.
Councilor McLeod.
It's a wonderful policy, and I don't know if there was a model used or if it's very creative amongst yourself, but you've done a great job on it. I just have a question.
Starting from scratch.
Good. Awesome. I have a question regarding the organizations that have to get approval or support from other funding agencies in order for their applications to be heard. And we've discussed it in prior years about Heritage Canada, for example. They had to make applications for funding, but it depended on support from the community. Does that affect that at all in the timing aspect of it?
So Heritage Canada asks for, when they, and other organizations like that, when you apply for funding up front, ask for a letter of support from
yep.
the municipality. And so we've already done that this year for some organizations. And so we don't commit to funding, we simply say, we provide this amount of funding for next year, we expect to have a funding program available, and they would be available to apply. Some wording like that.
Okay.
So it doesn't affect it, but we have to go through that dance with
yes.
the federal
okay.
government for their program.
I just want to make sure that was still there so it wouldn't hold up any of their applications.
Any other counselor have a question or comment on this policy? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion?